Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team. Yeah, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start it now, Andy, for you. So,
all right.
Been like 5 seconds, but folks, thank you for joining us for our 94th, 95th edition of the Benjamin Brown Podcast. We thank you for joining us live here on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It is March Madness, folks. It is Thursday afternoon, Thursday morning, and I'm sure around the country we're watching the start of NCAA tournaments. And without further ado, we have our very special guest, a person who himself is no stranger to the NCAA tournament, a former Big Ten player. Should have been player of the year and led the conference in scoring and assists at over 20 points a game and over 6 assists. And the Iowa Hawkeye Basketball Hall of Famer and Omaha Hall of Famer, the great Andre Woolridge. Dre, thank you for joining us again on the Benjamin Brown Podcast. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Dre, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule there. And I guess to start, how are things going out there? Anything new with the World Ball Academy in Sacramento? You guys have any adventure?
I mean,
or anything?
We looking towards, some summer camps. A friend of mine wanted to do a co-summer camp. A friend of mine named Sam Luong, who has his own training academy. So we're starting to put that together. I've also been having a few conversations with the Senator Justin Wayne, who's my frat brother and also a basketball fanatic, and we might have some stuff in the works for Omaha.
Great. And speaking of Omaha, Dre, that's a perfect transition. Of course, you being a stranger to the NCAA tournament, making it both at Nebraska and the University of Iowa. We had a conversation with your former teammate earlier, as we mentioned off air on the pre-production show. Big Bruce Chubbuck was on with us earlier, and we spoke about his 4 NCAA trips to the tournament. And Dre, what is it about it? You also growing up in the same area that we did. Right now, we spoke about Caitlin Clark and her wonderful feats at Iowa. The Iowa State women and Creighton women are all in the tournament. And then flip-flop on the men's side, of course, Iowa success this year. Creighton is in the tournament. Drake is also in the tournament. What do you think that mean, Andre, for the kids in that Heartland area and for those programs to all have success, both in the men's and the women's game?
I just think the game is evolving. A lot of times, I went to big time camps back in the day, 5-star camp. One of my first camps was Iowa camp. I went, played in the top 100, the Nike ABCD camp. And it's just like, you get the Texas guys, you get the California guys, you get the New York guys. But when you say, oh I'm from Omaha, Midwest and Omaha, you probably the only black dude there. And I think the game, the game is evolving. And number one is getting better because it's just the era of trainers. So now, you're working on a certain skill set from 6 or 7 years old. So, this is why you see so many skilled players in the NBA. Steph Curry blew the door wide open for, shooting like Caitlin shoots. I saw Chris Kingsbury do that with me back in the 90s. He was pulling up from the logo. So I'm not a stranger to seeing that. He would do that against Michigan, big time game on CBS. I'm just proud, for the Midwest. I'm proud for, Silas Hunter. I'm proud for
Chucky Hepburn.
Yeah, Chucky. And I never really got to see him play. Sometimes it's difficult getting Midwest games out here on the West Coast, but I heard he's a dog. So congratulations to him, the kid from Creighton, that's from Nebraska. I'm just proud that
there's so many across the country. Yeah, it's hard to remember. Yeah. I guess shout out to my guy from Iowa, Jake Dix from Council Bluffs, from Abraham Lincoln High School. I think he just dropped 23 on Northwestern from Iowa the other day. So congrats to my former alumni, Jake Dix.
Yeah, so it's just, the game is evolving. Everybody's getting recognition, but you they say, oh, who's the best players? Or the best players come from Cali. The best players come from New York. But I think we'll just, you know, continue to step our games up and get recognized.
In that same breath, Dre, kind of, you had a historic game. I believe, I don't want to get the timeline wrong, but your senior year against the defending, or the eventual champs, defending champs, Rick Pitino and the Kentucky Wildcats, and they had a born Nebraskan, Mark Pope, who's actually the head coach of BYU, and good luck to him as well. Got to listen to him. He had a great interview on the Zach Gelb show yesterday, another Omahaan, but they had the stars to the team with Tony Delk and Antoine Walker and Ron Mercer, Derek Anderson. Andre, what are your great memories of that game, as Rick Pitino really gave you great praise, and as he said, it was a pressure cooker, and you basically put that team on your back and almost beat a defending champion single-handedly?
Well, you know, I did have a great game. It was a great way to go out. The first thing I remember is they had Ray Mercer on that squad, and I had gave him a couple fouls, but they accredited them to somebody else. So I run into those situations where I've seen the top players not get fouls, and it's kind of controlling the game. But I don't want to blame it on that. They had a killer press, but I was successful. I only had one turnover that game. I think I ended up with 29 points. It was a tough game. I was the only senior on that Hawkeye team. Jess Settles was hurt. Chris Kingsbury had left. And so, you know, I tried to put the team on my back, and you know, the underclassmen, everybody stepped up. I made sure we weren't scared. It was just a great game in front of about, I think, 30,000. It was in Arizona. 30,000, maybe 35,000-40,000 people. Just a great feeling. The NCAA tournament in itself is just a great feeling.
Folks, you listen to Andre Woolridge. They may have the record for the most Hall of Fames here on the Basic and Brown podcast. This man is in 7 or 8 different Hall of Fames for the Omaha Benson Bunnies, for the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know, like I said, the only man that leads the Big Ten in scoring and assists in the same season. And we thank you for him joining us here live on Apple, Spotify, and podcast. Andre, to transition into it, we had a fun conversation off there. We talked about, of course, the golden age of basketball in the Heartland area. And is there any other games you're looking forward to watching to see this? Are you still rooting for Iowa? Anybody in second that you're rooting for behind them?
Well, you know, I'm always rooting for Iowa. But I trained the kid at Duke, Jared McCain. I trained him since he was 5 years old. So I want him to be successful. I want Duke to do their thing. I want Salas, you know, just to really handle his business as far as his career. But like I say, it's hard for me to catch a lot of Midwest games. But I think UConn has a great team, so I'm looking forward to them. They got some boys on that team, so I'm looking forward to watching them.
I guess we should also give respect to his mother, who was one of the probably all-time top players at Omaha, Jessica Haynes. She was an excellent player, and I think spent some time in the coaching staff in the WNBA. Yeah. Hunter Salas' mother, she was tremendous player with Martise Ivey and those likes.
Definitely. We are in one of the Hall of Fames together. I believe it's Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. I can't remember, but I remember getting inducted with her. But I kind of grew up with her. You know,
That's a great story.
Yeah, they lived probably 2 or 3 blocks away from me. But I more hung out with her brother, her younger brother and sister. But yeah, sorry about that. I forgot to turn my ringer off. So, yeah,
we are home friendly, pet friendly, all kid friendly. It's all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he kind of just, you know, has it in his blood because Jessica's younger sister, Johnette, she could play, you know, and she would be at Bryan Center with us playing against the boys and handling her business. So, you know, he definitely has a advantage in his DNA. But that boy can play. So, and I'm proud that he went through some diversity in his career and worked on his game. I see a lot of improvement with his handles, with his shot, decision making. He's just emerging as a great player. I like to see people, especially from Omaha, because I feel like we are automatic underdogs. And so, you know, when you climb up out of the trenches and handle your business, it's a great thing.
Absolutely, folks. Can you listen to Andre Woolrich, the Hall of Famer, and I say the point guard out of the great state of Nebraska, here live on the Basic and Brown podcast. Andre, last time on your program, we had a little bit of audio, and I thought you did a brilliant job. And we got a lot of feedback from our audience, the BNB Nation, about how you were breaking down. We had a list of I had asked you in your era. I always don't want to put that criteria out there, Andre. I don't like to compare eras or say, you know, everything against what's going on now, because they've had the benefit of watching your era and the white chalk was God, Sham Gods, Stephon Marbury. They had the benefit of watching Pearl Washington, Sherman Douglas. But Andre, can you generally break down what you thought about? You were saying the different types of handle, from the East Coast guys to a guy like Jason Kidd in the West Coast. Can you rehash that for the Benjamin Brown audience?
Well, I was saying that I think it's just different styles of ball handling. I think, you know, the East Coast and New York guys handle the ball a little bit higher, but still they still have it on a string. You know, I think about a Kenny Anderson, you know what I'm saying, a Stephon Marbury. But then, I mean, you take a look at Isaiah Thomas. He has to be one of the best, you know, ball handlers ever. And then you got, you know, white chocolate. Like, it depends on just how they grew up, you know. Playing on the playground, I think that's important. But right now, so you got Kyrie, you know, we had Allen Iverson. Just like I say, I think East Coast guys handle the ball a little bit higher, above their knee maybe a little bit, and different areas maybe below the knee. That's the difference for me. But if it's on the string, it's on the string. You got handles, you know what I mean? And as the game evolves, of course, everything gets fancier. You know, back in the day, you might not see a double behind the back into a crossover step back. You know what I mean? Because you have coaches, who say you're dribbling too much, or it doesn't fit into the system. But, you know, you get to do that more in the NBA because it's all one-on-one. And so now, everybody is going to outdo everybody. So, you know, Iverson want to be fast like Isaiah, but of course he's going to try to make his handles better. You know, Kyrie is going to make his handles better than Iverson's. People were Pistol Pete. You know, people study Pistol Pete, but you're going to study him, then you're going to try to make it better. And that's just natural evolution of life, basketball, whatever. You know, you want to, you know, you got a 6'4 Impala and you got a Tesla. ain't nothing wrong with
a Pontiac and a Cadillac. Keep the veil in Seville, so one or the other.
You got grape drink and then you got Sun-Kissed grape soda. It's just, it's just different levels.
And that's an excellent point, Dran, to your point. Guys, I remember maybe a little ahead of your era, it was like Rod Strickland. You know, I loved watching him grow up, or kind of maybe behind you with like Jamal Tinsley. Right. I thought he had a different way of they said in Chicago, he would modify the dribble. You know, he would come down and I thought it was interesting to you. I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying about Isaiah Thomas being from Chicago and me living in that area in Illinois. I got the privilege to talk to a lot of old heads and guys that played in his era. But I remember watching him on TNT one time kind of break down to Kevin Garnett about how he grew up learning how to dribble. And he talked about, you know, how Iverson would hang it and leave it out there. But he was taught by the Harlem Globetrotters. I can't remember which guy, it was a Curly Neal or someone, but would come into the west side of Chicago and talk to guys. But he said they were taught, like you said, to keep it below their knees, right, to keep it in a box. So this is how he framed it. When you dribble the ball, you know, have one hand out to guard the ball, guard the defender away from you, then to keep the ball tight and close to you. So, and then I think that's, and then like I said, Isaiah Thomas, and you evolved to Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway, you know, got the UTEP two-step. He got that crossover.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we saw Iverson, you know, turn it into it. I thought it was interesting, too, Dre, to finish that segment, is that we had a guest on, Reggie Brown, who was a great player in Chicago, and he now is the agent for Bradley Beal and Doug McDermott and some others. And he talked about how, back in the day, you had guys like that would, like, bigger guys when Grant Hill came into the league and Kobe in the mid-90s. I think people forget they kind of used that crossover dribble very effective as well,
right,
at that size, 6'8", 6'7".
And also, you know, the rules help, you know, allows you to do a little bit more now. You can, you know, at first they tried to stop Iverson from hanging the ball. You know, I remember preseason.
I remember the Jada Kiss commercial, and him and Jada Kiss had the whole commercial out.
Right. And I remember preseason, I was playing for Denver, and they're calling it strict. So you can't hang the crossover. But now you see guys with their hand on the side of the ball. You see guys with their hand under the ball. You know, they have different rules they got to gather. So the game is just evolving. And the NBA wants it to be high flying. You know, at the first and foremost, it's entertainment. So you want to see the dunks. You want to see the fancy handles. You know, imagine Curry shooting like that. If you drop him in the Jordan era, coaches would shun that. You know, they wouldn't even allow you to pull up for 30. If you miss one, you're getting snatched out the game, where, you know, he could miss his first three and then run off three in a row. So I think everybody's mind has to evolve. You know, older guys can't shun the new guys, and you know, the new guys can't hate on, you know, the golden era. You just everybody has to grow. And that's how you get better. And that's how, you know, everything's going to evolve. Everything's going to change. Nothing's going to stay the same. Basketball life. That's just how it goes.
Well, on a fun note, I know, was anybody, Andre, that ever got you really bad when you were in the preseason camps or even back at home? Did anybody ever cross you up so you thought, man, that was a great move?
I was in preseason with Denver. I'm in practice, and, you know, left-hand guys are awkward as it is. You know, you don't see any of them. So Nick Van Exel, about 6'3", you know, he's taller than me, but quick. And he hit me with an in-and-out crossover.
Extremely long arms.
Yeah. He hit me with a crossover, and I was just like, woo. You know what I mean? You don't expect, you know, a guy like that. And, you know, I have to guard him every day in practice, you know, and it was just a difference. Robert Pack was there, but his handle wasn't like Nick Van Exel's, but he was quick. But, you know, I could catch his cadence, and I could guard Robert Pack better than Nick Van Exel. So I think everybody gets crossed. You know, a lot of times everybody gets, you know, people get dunked on. It's part of the game. If you're competing and you're playing hard, you know, things happen, but you just want to be, you know, on the higher end of that. You want to cross more people than you get crossed, and you want to dunk on more people than you get dunked on.
I mean, Drake, I consider you a combo guard, you know, even at that side. I think all three of you guys would do a lot better in this day's era, especially with, you know, the way Nick the Quick would handle the ball and score, and Robert Pack was just so explosive when he would, you know, once he got past the guy and get in the air. I mean, you can go back and look at that series when they beat the Sonics in 94, and I mean, he was dunking on Sean Kemp and going by Gary Payton.
Exactly.
Sometimes, like, they weren't even there, so. But Dre, in closing, we want to thank you again on behalf of my co-host Bob Bajek and the whole production crew for you to rejoin us again here during our March Madness. And Dre, any closing, is there anything you guys, like I said, you know, you mentioned, is there anything else you have coming up maybe in Omaha, or anything you finalized since the last time you were on about a month ago?
No, nothing finalized. Like I say, I've had some conversations with Justin Wayne, but we need to solidify some things. I know he's a busy man, but if not, I will probably put together something for Omaha in the summer. You just, you know, got to find a facility and, you know, get the interest going, marketing and everything. Putting on camps is not as easy as people think, but it can happen. You know what I mean? And I love teaching the kids. So that's all I need is a gym and a basketball. And I can pour what I know into the future and, you know, let these guys hopefully take it further than me.
Right. And in closing, Dre, just for anybody that may have missed the last episode, can you let them know where they can follow you at in the All World Ball Academy online?
I am Instagram, All World Ball. Same thing with TikTok, All World Ball. Most of my training stuff is there. I'm changing my website right now, so it is under construction.
Great. Okay.
And, you know, if you need me, just reach out, DM me. You know, we can talk business. We can get you some training. We can, you know, take care of what you need to take care of.
Again, folks, we want to thank Andre Woolridge, the Omaha Hall of Famer, Iowa Hawkeye Hall of Famer, Benson Bunny's legend from the north side of Omaha. We really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the games, Andre, you and your family. I hope, you know, everything is well. Enjoy the, you know, the Huskers and the Hawkeye games, both men's and women's, and should be a fun four-day weekend. And, folks, we want to thank you again for joining us for the 94th edition of the Benjamin Brown Podcast, live here on Apple Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. We have the point guard, Andre Woolridge from North Omaha. We appreciate him. And folks, as always, stay healthy, stay hydrated, be blessed, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you. Thank you, Dre.
Thanks for having me, man.
God bless, Dre. We'll talk to you soon, bro. Do it again.
God bless, brother. Thank you.
Started from the bottom, now my whole team. Yeah, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. No noon, no noon, we don't feel that. A fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same, I never changed it. No noon, no noon, we don't feel that. A fake friend, where your real friends at? Whoa. We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same through the money and the fame. 'Cause we started from the bottom, now we here.